For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's Mike Shope.
You might be mocking me or you might be staunchly agreeing with me. I can't tell.
I'm mocking you.
And the Bulldog.
What is Fozzie Bear's role in this production?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I would say that, especially if you're a little bit older, the Bills' dominance over Miami is one of the best things about them to enjoy, to think about, to revel in, you know?
Agreed, yes.
I mean, you don't have it all right now. You don't have the Kansas City. You have the Kansas City
problem.
They kind of own you, and, you know, that's not fun to think about. But four straight division titles, and the Dolphins have just been kind of their patsy here through all of that. The Dolphins, it's better when they're pretty good. And then you just beat them anyway.
Yep.
Kind of how it's been. I'm saying all that. I know they play tomorrow, but it is one of the most more enjoyable aspects of sort of Bill's life.
100%. I mean, it certainly will vary by, you know, demographic. But for someone in my age bracket, and even maybe a little younger, that grew up with the 70s, you know, the 90s certainly did a lot to sort of untangle that for you, if that's the right way to put it.
I like it.
It was awesome, but this is even better at this point. And yes, it does matter. You know, a big part of my problem with like having the Patriots as that team, like replacing Miami, is that the Bills were never, ever good during that. I mean, it's the duration of the drought, really, is their dominance. It may have extended a little bit further, but still, that was it. And I never, they never kept me from doing anything. You know, they kept me from enjoying the games against them. You know, they made me feel like I was in a different league than them a lot of the time. And that was utterly and completely demoralizing. But it wasn't the same as, you know, if the Bills were good, if they were you know, like Miami right now would be viewing the Bills. I mean, it's, you know, it's not even half the time that we were living this life with the Patriots. But still, if you'll allow it here, the Dolphins are good. They're on the rise. They're a contending team. They have Super Bowl aspirations. They've got their super cool modern coach there with his sweatpants rolled up different lengths. And Tua, they got their quarterback, the receivers. Like, they're loaded up. They've got their team, right? And they cannot get past the Bills. Like, that, to me, if the roles were reversed, if the Bills had even Josh Allen, or if the Bills had Tua, and they had whatever, and I can't get by them, that's way worse than losing to the Patriots twice a year every year, but I'm going at best 7-9 anyways. I mean, recognizing that, you know, some of those years, one win against New England could have made a difference for the drought, maybe, but...
Ooh, interesting.
It just never really, you know what I'm saying? Like, it never felt like they were keeping me from doing a thing. Like, I couldn't do the thing on my own.
I guess I've never quite thought about that, just to interject. 2004, that would have to be true. If you'd beaten New England one of the two times in 2004,
sure,
that would have to be right. But maybe that's it. Were the Bills ever one game away? any other year. No.
Yeah, the best you could do is, like, if you had another win in October, by the time you got to December, maybe you would have been, you know, in a spot, and I don't know, you handled it differently, who knows. But, yeah, that maybe there's only that one year. Almost inarguably, that would have to be right, because they did just miss by, they barely missed.
They lost a week three game, I think it was, to New England. It was a pretty good game. And then there was a night game that year there that was just utterly... demoralizing, to use your word.
Yeah. So, you know, owning Miami feels great. You know, not being scared of the Patriots anymore feels really good too. But again, it's just in a different. They're different things.
Well, we're getting pretty jinxy here, aren't we? We're venturing into jinx land.
Whatever. Sure. Am I supposed to not talk like the Bills have owned the Dolphins? I mean, I know tomorrow's a game that they could easily lose. I'm not. You know,
you don't have to deny the truth, but maybe we just talk about something else.
Pickles.
Like pickles. I have two other topics that are not really related.
All right. Well, I do like talking about kicking Miami's ass, though.
Yeah, I mean,
it feels good.
Friday, maybe. I think the Bills are in tough here tomorrow. This is just like the game for the Dolphins. This is the team for the Dolphins at home. I mean, they're favored, Miami. And it remains to be seen just who the Bills are. I think more defensively than offensively, I have these questions against that offense. You know, are we going to see Hill and Waddle just running away from guys? Can Rousseau have a game and maybe Oliver so they can be more disruptive? That's what they're going to want. Because if they're not able to do that, then you could get that, you know, that scenario. But we'll see. I had a couple other questions. Go ahead.
I definitely think they're in tough. It would go a long if they can, with this defense as reshaped as it is, do a decent job on this Dolphin offense. It'll go a long ways towards making you feel like, oh, hey, you know what? Yeah, you know, the offense has got to figure it out. But wow, like I'd be really impressed. So I do think they're in tough. But I think everything that you can say, and you've said it a lot. About this game, and just said it again just now about Miami, like what they should be, what we'd expect them to be pouring into this, like emotionally, what it means to them. All of that was true in week 18. That game was there. Miami, I would expect they were favored in that game. I don't remember. I mean, the Bills were coming in pretty hot, of course, at a winning streak. And so maybe that swung it, but I mean Miami had been in the lead the whole season, basically. Well, not the whole season. Once the Bills got to 500, Miami just sort of ran away with it for a while. So there was an opportunity for like all the stakes in the world, and no reason to not pour everything into it. It's not week two; it's week 18. It's for the division and all that. And you know, it's not that they didn't show up. It was a very tight game. The Bills needed a punt return touchdown to wrest it away, and then a late interception by Taylor Rapp to seal it. But like they would have wanted that as badly as any game you could ever want.
Tomorrow night, Miami is favored by 2.5. That night, the Bills were favored by 2.5.
Okay. Well, either way, whatever the spread was, they would have been desperate to show, like, we did it. We beat you. It's in our house, night game. Same scene as this. It's just not week two. The stakes were larger, and they couldn't do it.
Am I correct that if the Dolphins, that's the last game of the regular season, if the Dolphins had won, they would have played again the next week? In Miami?
I think that's right.
2 versus 7?
I think that's right.
Or even 3 versus 6, but I think 2 versus 7?
I think that is right.
The Bills had clinched, and they were 10-6 going into that game. Had they lost 10-7, I mean, that's where the Steelers were. I don't remember everything about it, like if that got the Steelers in or just what, but I think that was the deal that night. It was still kind of... I mean, I'm one fan. Low pressure.
Well, yeah. You were made already. I mean, you were going to the playoffs either way. But, you know, from going on the road in week one of the playoffs to play a wild card game to being at home for two games,
yep.
It's a very different thing.
That's right. I had a question about the Chief game.
The Chief playoff game?
Yes. 803-0550 is the number here. My question about the Chief game is, so... all this time spent on why and how the Bills weren't able to win these playoff games. How have they not gone farther than they've gone here in these 4 years? Do you think that, like, without a couple of injuries, they would have won the game against Kansas City? Like, it seems like a lot to say.
It's so tough to say, but it is also, I mean, it's, I have not gone back and watched this game. I don't know that I ever will. But the fact that A.J. Klein was, you know, in the middle of the field and had been in an RV ready to take his family to the Florida Keys or whatever the heck he was going to do, and instead came up here and played football, really is stark. You know, I think, you know, you can tie yourself up in that sort of stuff. I think Rasul Douglas in the lead up to the season even said if he played, but he was really compromised. He said recently, if I'd been healthy, we would have won the game. But that, you know, that's the players. That's how they are. I think that's fair. I think Bernard, especially in the middle of the field. I mean, the Chiefs just did whatever they wanted in that game, it seemed like.
Well, that's one reason why the stats are really kind of tilted, that Kansas City, whatever they were, like almost 9 yards per play or something.
Yeah.
They ran only 50 plays, the Chiefs, in that game, which is really low. The Bills ran 77. The Bills ran 77 plays in the Chief playoff game last year to Kansas City's 50. And the Bills did also outgain the Chiefs for the night, 27 first downs to 21.
I mean, you got such a close game as it is.
37 minutes to 23.
Yeah. I did not know it was that lopsided.
I didn't remember it that way either.
And time of possession. It's funny the things you just sort of breeze past when your season ends like that, right? I mean, it's so jarring when it just like, oh, the field goal's no good. It's over. Oh, my God. We got to go on the air. Like, I just remember the feeling that I've mentioned that before. Like, I'm in my living room. Okay, overtime. Well, a minute and a half. Mahomes.
So sudden.
So jarring. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Pick and choose. They were down a lot of guys. I feel like a healthy Douglas and a healthy Bernard, a game that's that close, I think they make a difference. As much as it is hard to project how much a defensive positional player moves the meter here at all.
Not to mention Milano.
They were really compromised. Yeah, but
he's out all season almost, last year.
That's why I don't mention him, because he like that, you know, they were getting by without him. It was Bernard got hurt in the Pittsburgh game, Rapp got hurt in the Miami game.
Gabe Davis got hurt in the Miami game,
and then, you know, just too much. Just too much.
Well, you know, it's both things. Talking about injuries like that doesn't feel good, and you can never prove it.
Right.
And who wants to listen to it? You know, like, you got to, if you're talking like that, and I'm a Chiefs fan, I'm like, go on,
right?
Tell me again how you would have won this game. Yeah. Just have your fun,
right,
doing that.
You know, I fumbled at the half yard line, by the way, when I was about to score to put you away, right? That's what a Chiefs fan would be waiting to talk. You know, but again, the injuries play into all of that.
But it's also, like I say, it's two things. There's also some merit to it. I mean, don't we do this about the Sabres in 06?
For sure, yeah.
Can't we all think a couple of those guys don't get hurt? Tim Connolly, McKee, Talinder, a couple of those guys don't get hurt and they definitely win. Like, we don't really know that.
Right.
Of course we don't. We don't know that, but we sort of all think it.
Mm-hmm.
That's so long ago now, isn't it?
Yes,
2006?
Yeah.
Wow.
My kids are 4-2.
Yeah.
In 2006.
My kids are 0-0.
22-20 now. Yeah, that's a long time ago, man. Yes.
Yeah, I haven't thought about it very often recently, but every time I do, it's great.
Yeah.
Not the ending, but.
No, I know. Yeah. Well, so, yeah, I mean, I you know, that's been out there the whole time. And, I wouldn't want it. I think it was so, there was just so many that it feels like I normally I'd want to do. Everybody has injuries. You know, the Chiefs were probably missing guys, too. I don't remember who. Okay. But, you know, it's a tough sport. Guys are going to get hurt. You know, when I hear, I feel like this rides along on a train with, You know, why are we getting so many injuries? Is there something wrong with the training staff? Like, there's something that they should be doing differently to prevent this from happening. And like, so I want to unhook the couple that the car this point about the Kansas City game singularly is riding on, and like take an offshoot, get an off ramp, and get off that train, because I don't want to hear that. But it's like they're in the same family. Like, oh, if I wouldn't have been so hurt, you know, but. There's merit. I think there is merit to it. There were so many injuries to try to get through. So, no, too bad.
Well, you know, it does, again, it's like annoying and futile, but it does matter in the analysis of, okay, so another season ended and we're all trying to figure out why and what to do about it. Right. So the Bills themselves, like, all right, so how did we lose? Why did we lose? What do we do about it? It really wasn't that kind of offseason for them so much as it was, all right, how do we sort of take a shower and kind of reset the roster and see what that amounts to, see what we can build. But really, like, that's what you're always trying to do. Why did it happen? And I think, you know, this is in the micro too, when we talked about how the game ended and those two decisions Allen makes before the field goal miss. And it's easy to say, well, Mahomes would have scored after that anyway. Like, if he hits the touchdown, is it Shakir in the end zone on the second down? So if he hits that touchdown pass, that's still like too much time. We don't know that any more than we know what happens if, you know, Douglas is healthy anything.
I'll tell you what I was thinking on that drive. Like, I felt like they're going to score. But, you know, it's Josh Allen, it's the Chiefs, it's the playoffs. They're going to get a touchdown here. And in my head, I'm thinking, give me a Micah Hyde interception, tip ball, something. And just, you know, we saw the Bengals do it to them in the AFC Championship game a few years ago. Like, it can happen. It, just because it never happens when you play them doesn't mean it's never going to happen. Right? So in my head, like, that's how I don't sit there thinking, you know, great, you're going to score too early. Get in the end zone and, like, somebody make a play. You know, and storybook with the safeties, like, it seems like we're nearing the end of their careers. That, my mind went there watching that final drive. And then, you know, that's why it was so jarring, because I'm thinking somebody's going to get a takeaway. We're going to get the lead. We're in great shape here. And then the kick misses and it's like, poof.
Is this year the same? Like, will you always do that? The difference last year, the game being at home, thanks to a listener who says that had the Bills lost in Miami in week 18, it would have been 3-6. They would have played the Dolphins 3-6. Maybe Kansas City moves up to 2 in that scenario, but it was right to remember that they would have played the Dolphins again the next week.
Thank you.
But like, that's what one theme of the offseason has been each year when you lose, maybe not for the athletes, but also maybe. In some cases, it's sort of human nature, I think. It's kind of like you're expecting that to happen again.
I don't think I'll be – well, I'm not going to feel that way Thursday. I did not feel that way Sunday, I'll tell you, even though it was Arizona. I mean, I picked the Bills, but, like, it comes time to sit down to watch the game. My kid walks into the living room, like, how are you feeling? I'm like, I'm terrified. That's exactly what I said. I said, I'm terrified. And, you know, and I said, I'm exaggerating, but I have a lot of anxiety. I mean, I don't know who they are. I don't know what I'm going to get here. And a game like that, the home opener against a team that mostly gets sort of made fun of, I'm just, I've got just this anxiety about what it's going to sound like and feel like if it doesn't go their way. And that's very different than how these previous four seasons have gone. Like, once I got comfortable with the idea that they were, you know, what they obviously were, which was a Super Bowl contending team, I sit down to watch games. Just, I'm not worried about what's going to happen if they lose. I know it's always possible they're going to lose. They don't win all these games. But as I'm watching the games, I have a very positive outlook about it. But that was very different on Sunday when the game started. And so I think it's going to take some work. I'm going to need to see this group of receivers and this reformatted secondary and all of it. I need to see it all work to the point where I can start to trust it again. But right now, not that they've done anything to lose my – they changed players. Like, that happens in sports. But I don't know these guys yet. You know, like, I don't feel like I can just sit down and assume they're going to find a way. So it'll take me a while to get there.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
No Raheem Mostert in this game, chest injury. Devin Achane, electric young runner for the Dolphins, scored in both games the Bills played them in last year. Called game time decision. Seems more like optimistic for him than other game time decisions can sound, but we'll see. No Taron Johnson for the Bills, as you may know, and Allen is apparently good to go, having practiced this week despite that hand injury late in the win over the Cardinals. 803-0550 on this topic, this conversation, or something more specific to last Sunday or tomorrow night. We welcome your calls. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, back after sports. This is WGR.
Raheem Mostert, it doesn't sound like it's going to be a multiple week injury, but this is why you go trade a future third round pick to draft a guy like Jalen Wright in the fourth round. This is a player they're very excited about. Now, I expect Devon Achane to play, look good at practice today. Expect Jeff Wilson to get some run as well. But keep an eye on Jalen Wright. He's got the high-end speed. He's got the contact balance and the ball carrier vision. They love this kid.
ESPN's Marcel Louis-Jacques, Jalen Wright, rookie.
Great. Did not. Another fast Miami Dolphin player. Great.
Right. Did not play week one. But if you remember Achane, how he came on, he didn't play week one last year, I think. Then week three, they scored 70 points, and it was just insane. So Wright is probably live at some point. He had one carry in week two. Then in week three, Achane, 18 for 203 and two, plus two more receiving touchdowns. Pretty good day that nobody started him in fantasy, because who's that? The next week he came here, and you could have started him in that game, and he had two more touchdowns, 8 for 101, then 11 for 151. He just had an insane year. He missed time in the middle. 7.3 yards per attempt, and then 8 yards per catch.
And how many attempts?
Well, it's better than that. It's better than that. That was just... Anyway, that was it, yeah. That's career.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
How many times did he carry the ball last year? Do you have that? I'm sorry. I shouldn't be asking.
103.
103 carries. All right. Yeah, that's a healthy amount for a sub back, you know, like a number two, right? He's mostly did he ever unseat Mostert
they
as
were,
the number
it
one
It wasn't
guy?
Exactly that, no. I mean, yeah. They were just complimentary.
Right.
7.8 yards per carry last year for Achane and 11 touchdowns on 130 touches. And he did the Bills a couple times too, like two in that first meeting here, and then mm-hmm. a great touchdown run, I believe, opened the scoring in the week 18 game. Here's Richard with us. Hello, Richard.
Hey guys, nice to talk to you guys again. It's been a while. I listen to your show as much as possible.
What I'm looking at
for this week and from last week, I noticed at the beginning of the game, I actually watched the whole game and sat without a beer and without a shot last week, so I was able to focus on the game and pay attention a little bit better. At the beginning of the game, I noticed McDermott was not wearing a headset, and I know Bobby Babish is a new defensive coordinator, and he's calling the plays. I was happy to see that he was up there, up in the booth, calling the plays and things, and Sean was, you know, giving him the reins and didn't have a headset on and just let him do his thing. And I found myself saying, come on, Bobby, get them in position, you know, call, you know, dial it up so they can, you know, do their thing. I was happy to see the guys in the back end. I think it was on the first drive when they were kind of marching towards the end zone. They were the DBs they were talking to each other. It was a kind of a miscommunication, misassignment. They got the guys over. I'm like, yes, that's awesome. Everyone's on the same page. We're doing this, and we look pretty good. After so long, they kind of start taking their hits, you know, start moving the ball. And by the end of the game, I noticed Sean McDermott had a headset on, and he was talking into their microphone like he was last year. And look, he was actually calling the plays on that last drive.
And he was covering his mouth.
And he was covering his mouth, exactly. So that led me to believe that he kind of, on that last drive, he was like, Bobby, I trust you. You're doing a good job. You got us here. But hey, well, let me get into the garage, as Bulldog likes to say. Let me get into the garage, and we'll start again next week. So I'm kind of looking at that to see how far and how much of a leash Bobby Babich has and what the actual dynamics of the coaching staff on the defense side is.
Are you saying that you saw McDermott not wearing a headset for like until the end of the game? I'm not sure I'm following. Or did you just see a shot of him on TV without a headset on? Because I've never seen him not wearing a headset in a game. I mean, in given moments, yes, but he's always got a headset on.
No, at the beginning of the game, Bulldogs, he did not have a headset on, and he was doing his thing. They were calling plays first quarter. I'm 95% sure he did not have a headset on. And then next time I looked, and they showed him by the end of the game. Yeah. And I was getting nervous, like, what's going on?
Yeah.
I'm looking at him like, and he, and like Mike said, he was talking to the microphone, covering his mouth, like Dan Campbell on the old Applebee's commercial. Don't let it get out.
Right.
I said this on post. Yeah, I didn't notice the headset, but on post game, I said, why is he covering his mouth on that last drive if he's not calling plays or something? So maybe.
I'm sorry. I just think if he was not wearing a headset for like an entire series, an entire quarter, an entire half, three quarters, or until the very last series of the game, like it sounds like Richard is implying, we live in a town where Wade Phillips got slaughtered for not wearing a headset. I just can't. I think you might have seen Sean McDermott without a headset on one moment where he took it off to talk to the ref or something. He's got a headset on all game long.
I don't know.
I do. I'm telling you, the dude wears a headset. I don't know about the play calling.
I just didn't notice it on Sunday is all.
I can't believe that he would have not had a headset on for chunks of this game. It would blow my mind.
Yeah, he could. The headset doesn't necessarily imply that he's calling plays anyway. You know, coaches usually are wearing headsets, and they could just be listening and then, you know, chirping
and talking and contributing and whatever. Like, so, you know, even when you brought it up the other day, I mean, I don't know, you know, it's possible he took it over. I'm not disputing that, the possibility of that. But when you brought up this, he had his, you know, he was covering his mouth. You could be talking about what plays are being called or even suggesting plays to be called, and you want to have that covered like they're all suspicious and insane about doing. I just would not. I'm going to need to see more than a guy calling us saying, I saw him on TV without a headset on, to confirm that he's not wearing a headset in these games. That would blow my mind.
For any stretch of it, even, would be enough to make it interesting.
Right. That's what I mean. So I'm saying, if that had happened, it would have been noticed, and we would have been talking about it before today, I think. Someone would have brought it up. Hey, I noticed McDermott didn't have a headset on for the whole first quarter or the first drive or the whatever. It just would not have escaped attention until now. So, but again, Richard, I'm not disputing that he could have taken over play calling. I don't know. And that's not something that would have had to come up. It's a short week. Like, everybody's rushing to do.
The Bills wouldn't volunteer it.
No, that's for sure. but the headset thing, I would vigorously dispute. Well, I have vigorously disputed it.
It's pretty vigorous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not like Margot vigorous, but.
What's Margot vigorous?
Margot Rita Shope or Pug. Just like, you've just never seen speed like this. And very active and vigorous as a puppy at coming up on 11 months old. She just loves to run around and just get after it. Do you have, how many toys? How many dog toys do you own? Or does Fred own, if that's how you'd rather have me put it?
We had him down to one. For quite a while, he got this, like, I think it's a monkey, but it's got like eight arms or something. But the face of it looks like a monkey. And unlike every other toy he's ever had, he has not managed to destroy this one. I don't know. I think it's probably because he can't, because I don't think he loves it more than the other ones and just doesn't want to hurt it or something, because that would be, you know, a lot of thought process for a dog.
Mm.
But
your dog, maybe.
Okay, my idiot dog. So he's had this monkey, and it's been stable for months. We got the windows replaced in the attic, and I have a big, big brown leather chair on the one end of the room against where the biggest set of windows in the room are. And so we had to move all this stuff for the window people to come in and put the windows in. And when I moved the chair, there were approximately 11 billion dog toys behind that chair. And so they've been recirculating, and now, you know, so we've got anywhere between 4 and 10 dog toys.
Okay, good
floating around the house now. I'm not as nuts about keeping them away from him. When I was working in the attic all the time, and he'd come, you know, you'd hear him, and I'm sure it happened numerous times while I was working from there, squeaking. You know, he's got a chew toy, squeak. So I would try to keep those from him while I was working, and that's how a lot of them, I think, ended up behind the chair. Anyway, there's the answer. A lot of dog toys right now.
I'm going to get back to that, but I'm also checking on the headset stuff. Like, I'm just watching the highlights. McDermott has a headset on like 1 minute into the game, so I don't know if he took it off, but I think he's wearing one here.
Yeah.
Assuming that's him. Probably. I think I'm right. Do you have dog toy rankings? I do. We have that. They're just me. Nobody else. My wife will comment on the always fluid, just like the reverse AFC power rankings.
Mm-hmm.
Always fluid dog toy rankings. But
Is this based on usage?
Based on usage and seeming level of interest.
Yeah, right.
Right, which is pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
Number one has got to be Foxy.
Tell me about Foxy.
Foxy is a fox, long, skinny, and furry.
I get it.
Two is Little Red Ball. I should have gone the other way in the same style as reverse AFC power, right? Reverse dog toy rankings.
Yeah.
Two, sponsored by Empire Electric. Two, they would probably want nothing to do with this. Two is Little Red Ball. Three is Avocado.
An actual?
No. Okay. A big, greenish, brownish thing.
Okay, because a real avocado, that'd be tough.
Four is Foot.
Your foot? Anyone's foot? All foot?
Foot is a brown slipper.
Oh, okay.
Like a furry, small, might have been like my daughter's that she outgrew it. Mm-hmm. Foot. And then five has got to be Big Wiffle.
Big Wiffle, one of those. No, what is Big Wiffle?
It's a wiffle ball, like a, you know, sort of a baseball-sized wiffle ball.
Okay.
We call it Big Wiffle.
I was thinking it was one of the big red bat. Like the wiffle, the big, you remember the fat red bat? Like the wiffle ball sets I had as a kid had that little, really almost ridiculously narrow, I don't know, whatever.
The yellow bat?
The yellow bat was like, you know.
Just good luck.
Then somebody would always show up with that big red one. It was like, you know, anyone could smash a ball over a house with that red one.
No, it's a ball. It's a wiffle ball, but it goes by Big Wiffle.
Okay. Gotta watch out for Big Wiffle.
We actually have Big Wiffle 2 that's outside. Oh. Big Wiffle 2 hangs out outside. Big Wiffle 1.
Fred has no toys outside.
Well,
there's too much. You know, we live on a somewhat busy corner, and so there's people on bicycles that he has to terrify.
I encourage dog toy rankings. Just brings a little bit of levity to your home if you have a dog.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
weird.
Very strange.
Yeah, that'd be strange.
Paul Hamilton coming up at 6, Bills and Dolphins tomorrow night here on WGR. Week 2 in the NFL kicks off tomorrow night, Bills at Dolphins. Only 3 primetime games this weekend. The others being Sunday night, Chicago at Houston, Caleb Williams, CJ Stroud. Monday night, Atlanta at Philadelphia. Get used to Atlanta. They're on Sunday night next week against the Chiefs in Atlanta. There are 4 night games next week because there are 2 Monday night games, including Jacksonville at the Bills.
Bills is the early one, right? 7:30, I think, is the kickoff on the Bills-Jaguars game.
I'm
almost positive of that. Yes, I'm sure of it.
Yes, 8:15 for Washington at Cincinnati that night. Thursday night next week is Patriots-Jets. You want the whole season?
Sure, why not?
See, the uniform matchup for Sunday night is kind of interesting. because I have a red-orange problem. Like when the Bengals play the Chiefs in these big games, including this week, it's tough for me to look at. Red versus orange.
Tough.
The helmets, it's just like it's tough. The Bears are wearing orange helmets and jerseys and white pants. And the Texans will be in all white. I think probably their navy blue helmet. If it's even navy blue anymore. Is it black now? It's dark.
It's dark. I don't think it's black. They also have a red helmet?
Yeah, they have red.
I don't know. I
don't think we have a red-orange problem here Sunday night. We have the Bears in orange.
Should be okay,
I think. The Texans in white.
They're in white. Yeah. The worst you could get is a red helmet. And I have no idea if they would be wearing those, but I know I've seen them.
I don't think so. I love that game. The Bears, holy cow, what a steal of a win against Tennessee. I think it was 2.8 yards per play, Chicago, in that game, and they won.
They scored on a blocked punt, right? Wasn't that, who's the Olympia that has the husband that plays on the Bears?
Is it Simone Biles?
Simone Biles. Okay, thank you. I wanted to say, and then for some reason there was a roadblock there. Anyway, yeah, her husband returned a block.
Jonathan
punt.
Owens.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And then there was the pick six. Like that. I mean, that is theft right there. Is
theft.
What that is. Yeah.
They had 148 yards for the game, 11 first downs. Really bad, but good enough to win. Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze, both injured, missing practice today. At first, for Odunze, it was kind of ominous.
Yeah, it sounded.
Sounding, but not
scary.
So much today.
Yeah.
You know who else? Two other guys today were this. Jake Ferguson, who left Dallas Cleveland, the tight end for the Cowboys, with a knee injury. And he's like, I feel fine.
Yeah, so, he said right after the game, it hurt like crazy. And right now, I don't feel it at all.
And Matt LaFleur would not even rule out Jordan Love for their Week 2 game today. You know, come on, right?
I'm going to guess that that's just gamesmanship, but, you know, it is encouraging if they feel like, you know, A, they don't have to IR him, and they can play that game, then, you know, he'll be back sooner than later, you would think.
Malik Willis will start for Green Bay if Love can't, which I'm expecting to. And that's interesting. I mean, Willis, I don't know. How bad must it have been? Even in the preseason, you didn't get sort of wow running.
Yeah.
But not the kind of performances where there'd even be like a clamor for him. This goes really more last year than this year. This year, like Levis was kind of set at that spot. But they traded him to Green Bay. He goes in as the backup. And this is his game against Indianapolis and Richardson. Man, there are so many fun quarterbacks right now. Don't you love it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really is incredible how the league has kind of transformed at that position. All these runners, Allen, like right at the top of the list, you know, with a couple other guys. And it's changed the game. I mean, these passing stats are all down. As Armando told us earlier, I've been saying it too. That's really a lot of why, is because these quarterbacks can just take first downs on third and medium almost at ease, with ease. And so, you know, Stroud and Caleb Williams, Daniels coming up in that primetime game with the Bengals. The league, hopefully that continues. I don't know the whole schedule, but I'd love to see.
As long as the Washington coach lets him keep running.
Well,
Daniels,
that's right.
He's making all kinds of noise about, we're going to stop doing that. Like, dude, no.
That's what you deserve if you hire a Dan Quinn.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to get old school defense and, I mean, Kingsbury, I don't think is great either.
What I can't believe about that is that someone who coaches defense wouldn't recognize the problem it is to have the quarterback taken off like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you want to protect him. He's not a – he did – the biggest hit he took in the game that I saw, I didn't see a lot of this game, but I did see him sitting in the pocket at one point, and he got absolutely destroyed. He fumbled. I think they recovered. Whatever. And he just got smashed, like old school NFL films from behind, you know, the hit I'm talking about, just one of those where he just crumples, like, oh, dude, like maybe the worst hit I saw all week.
Obviously, he should have run.
Right.
Get out of there. Play.
Right.
Paul Hamilton after sports. We'll talk a little Sabres with the Prospects Challenge on tap here this weekend. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.